Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Paco Gavrilides, the professor of homiletics at Sacred Heart Major Seminary. And we're just together this week celebrating Easter, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Welcome back, Paco.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
You know, friends, we've been just reveling in the reality of the gift of the resurrection and just want to keep celebrating it and talking about it. One of the things we've been doing is reflecting on the readings the church gives us in this octave of Easter. Before we jump in today, I do want to remind you that all the programs that we do here on Fire on the Earth and in Sister Ann Shields, Food for the Journey, and our TV programs and other things, you can access them on our website at renewalministries.net. Easiest way to get to it all is to download the app. Download the Renewal Ministries app, and you can find information how to get onto our podcast. You can also download the Ave Maria app and access all the programming that's here. Just such good and rich stuff. And then I want to remind you, the new booklet, that I'm offering now is Unfailing Promises. All the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ, the scripture says. All the promises are ours now because Jesus has risen from the dead. And he's at the right hand of the Father with all authority, and he stands behind those promises. And he's true, and he's believable, and he's totally trustworthy. And the reason I wrote the booklet, friends, is so that the more we internalize the promises, the more that we know what they are and what Jesus means by them, and we internalize them and own them, they will help transform our lives. It's part of getting a renewed mind. It's part of allowing the Lord to lay the secure foundation under your feet that you can stand on no matter what the circumstances are in your life. So, Paco, I know we were looking yesterday at Acts chapter 2, and I thought I want to just thank you for the wonderful reflection that you gave on it. And I just want to touch on the last few lines, and then we'll step into today's readings, and I just want you to take off with those in whatever direction you want to go.
All right.
Yesterday's reading ended this way. Peter's proclaiming on the day of Pentecost, and he talked about the essence and the elements of becoming a Christian. And then he says this. It says, he testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them. Exhortation is such an important part of the ministry and preaching of the church. And he says, he exhorted them this way, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. This is exactly what the church needs to be preaching today and always. The church is offering salvation from a corrupt generation, that is, a world that's in rebellion against God. The world, the flesh, and the devil are still present. And God in Christ on the cross has condemned them all, has condemned all that. He's destroyed its power. And so we have to make a decision to turn from its hold on us and give ourselves to the authority of Jesus so he can bring us into the freedom of his kingdom and break the hold of those powers over our lives. Because if we die in the state that we're in apart from him, we will come under the judgment that has already been made against the fallen world and the devil and the flesh. Mm-hmm. And so he wants us to be free. So save yourself from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted this message were baptized. And about 3,000 persons were added that day. I just wanted to get that in there from yesterday, Paco, because it's an important part of what Peter was doing.
Oh,
and frankly, have you ever heard a preaching on a Sunday where a priest or anywhere, any kind of conference, some priest said, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. You know, it's part of the apostolic preaching.
That's true. No, not in those words quite like that. I've never heard it. I think that one of the things that's very valuable for us as Christians, we understand that even though we receive the seed of new life and the power of the Holy Spirit within us, that there's a work to do of cleansing and purification and strengthening and maturing and transforming. That transformation that we need to allow the Lord to continue to do. And it's not a matter of us just doing a personal self-examination by ourselves, but rather being in the light of God, living in his truth, and letting that truth enlighten our minds and speak to our spirits in such a way that we have spiritual eyes to see the corruption that's still at work within us that would like to bring us back into bondage. And in that corruption, there's a conviction that God gives us to actually fight the good fight of faith to step away from it, to turn away from it, to renounce it explicitly, calling it by name and saying, I don't want this to be a part of my life anymore. But it's no longer me self-correcting as it is responding to the revelatory work of the Spirit within me that then shows me that internally I'm ready, because God has made me ready, to turn away more explicitly from those things and gain the territory of freedom in my personal being. And every single person who does that and responds that way is experiencing ongoing salvation, a conversion that continues to take place. And that's why we Christians can constantly give testimony to the risen Lord, because that Spirit that He sent to us is allowing us to be more and more conformed to Christ, and therefore more fully and evidently many times revealing the resurrection life. It's not a concept, it's a new way of life that can be seen and grasped by others when they begin to say things like, you know, he's really changed.
Yeah.
His patterns, his attitudes, his sarcasm, his cynicism is
gone.
Yeah,
he's more tender-hearted. He's more merciful. He's more kind.
Yes.
He's more loving. He's more patient. All that kind of stuff.
Thanks be to
God. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's so good. Well said. I had this thought going through my mind since we're just reveling in things. We know that Christmas and Easter is the time where the majority of baptized Catholics come to church, right?
Right.
So the churches are generally packed during those times. Now, the conventional wisdom is when you're getting a whole bunch of people who come, and maybe that's the only time they come to church all year, and they're not living as a result the way the Lord wants them to live. I mean, honoring the Lord's Day is a really big deal.
Exactly.
And if you're not honoring it on a weekly basis, you're offending God. You know, so we know that much for sure, right?
Right.
And so people
right.
are feeling free to absent themselves from the assembly, which Scripture says don't do that, right?
Right.
And so the conventional wisdom, Paco, is to say, well, make sure when people come that they hear a message of love, right? And so it gets communicated, God loves you. So a pastor will say, I want people to know, because it's the only time I'm going to see him this year,
right,
that they know that God loves them. Mm-hmm. I find it interesting that the first preaching in the history of the church under the anointing of the Holy Spirit
right.
declared the lordship and majesty of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Peter preached a lot like Jesus preached.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he said was, save yourself.
Right.
Change your life.
Right.
And I think the conventional wisdom misses a very important opportunity
mm-hmm.
to call people to repentance and salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a priest or a deacon or whoever is preaching at a time like that can say at some point in the context of the preaching mm-hmm. to be able to say, now given this reality, given the reality Jesus is resurrected and he's at the right hand of the Father, let's all of us come. This right. is a day of decision. Save yourself.
Yes.
Come under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Don't act like you've got the wheel and
right.
you're in charge.
Right.
You need to give him a blank check and come under his lordship, which is what basically you were talking about a
right.
few minutes ago.
Right.
And we can miss the opportunity
mm-hmm.
of calling people who actually are living in a way that's not pleasing to God, that are present at the Eucharist,
right.
to be able to call them to repentance in that moment and
right.
calling them to salvation.
Right. I think part of the gift that I believe the Lord wants to give those who preach his name and preach the gospel, our priests and deacons and others, lay people in their right context, is to open up all of the consequences or all of the effects of what has been destroyed, how sin actually has destroyed the things that bind people. The grace of God helps people overcome anger issues, to break the power of addictions, to bring reconciliation to others because Christ has reconciled us to the Father. I think that the more that people hear the kerygma opened up in all of its elements with its nuances and so on and all of its implications, then they're building hope. Oh, if this is the Lord that is really here for me, and then they get called to turn and have a new mind, they're gonna be more ready to want to step into it because they have a sense, oh, this really could make a difference for the quality of my life. because a lot of people live in a lot of misery, a lot of bondage, a lot of sadness. And then to bring out the kerygma with all of these implications, it's like, oh, this is a world that I do not know, but I certainly would like it, and they were made for it.
Yeah, no, that's really true. That's really true. And the resurrection, as we've been touching on the last few days, the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, mm-hmm. which is what Peter preached about, mm-hmm. right, so centrally, they're almost like one act. He's rising right. to the throne of the Father, yeah. and all authority is there, and he's given a means for people mm-hmm. to be saved and enter into what he's experiencing in heaven forever, right?
Right, right.
And he's given us life, but it comes to us only on his terms,
right?
Not That's our it. Terms.
Right.
And so I think one of the things that gets revealed in, you know, the big turnout at Christmas and the big turnout at Easter,
right,
is there's a whole lot of people who are maybe buying fire insurance that day. You know what I mean? To just say, right. I'm not really ultimately interested in this as a way of life for me.
Correct.
But I feel a kind of obligation I have to go to church,
right.
you know, or something like that. Or my parents want me to go to church. Mm-hmm. And so I dress up and I go one time. And the whole point of it is to say, all of us, not just this person, we're not just pointing fingers at somebody, but all of us have either made the decision to flee the wrath to come
right.
and to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ right. and putting him at the center and making him our aim and loving mm-hmm. and pleasing him is our aim. That's not a slavish thing.
No.
That's freedom. That's right. the gift. And that's the right. condition that Jesus actually put on becoming right. a disciple.
Right. right. Right.
And so I'm just concerned that on a season like this, people say, oh, is this a wonderful season of Easter? And miss the reality
right.
of what Jesus is actually saying is required of us in terms of coming into and living in this great gift.
That's right. And that requirement of turning to the Lord is not a one-time, one-off thing.
Right.
It's supposed to be an ongoing way of turning to the Lord for not only just for forgiveness and healing, but also turning to the Lord in the acknowledgement of his majesty, his glory, his beauty, and his power, so that praise and thanksgiving need to be united to that turning, because it's really, the turning is not the end game. The turning just opens the door to what God really intends, which is the richness and the fullness of life in the Lord. That really, God really wants to make us happy. And the best word, he wants us to flourish. But he has an understanding of what that means that we need to enter into.
Right. That's so good, because I think we don't buy it. You know what
right.
I mean? We don't quite buy that. We're afraid that to step into this wholeheartedly is we're trading down rather than trading up.
Right.
Or that it's going to step into this wholehearted, it's going to ruin our weekend in some way. Or it's going to diminish the possibilities of the kind of fun and freedom and whatever I can have in this world.
Right.
And that's part of the darkened mind. We don't understand.
Right.
I mean, I sit here right now at 61 years old, and I'm amazed at the treasure mm-hmm. of what God produces in us that I really had no idea. Right. I was missing.
Right.
I didn't know what was possible.
Right.
You know, I'm still frail and I still fall and stuff in different ways. But man, God has produced stuff inside me, and right. and the Holy Spirit has revealed more of Jesus and the Father. And he's actually been faithful to what he said he was going to do.
Exactly.
You know, brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us. Pac will be back again with us tomorrow. Hope you can join us. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.